This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Jim Crow became the law of the land in the South by the late 19th century. Racial segregation had become a social norm and a legal requirement. But some defied that norm. A Durham-based photographer, Hugh Mangum, did it through portraits. He took photos of everyone, black, white, rich, poor, and he portrayed all of them with dignity. More than 600 images have been salvaged and preserved. And a new exhibit at the Durham History Hub shines a light on the impact Hugh Mangum had on the Durham community. Photographer Sarah Stack curated the exhibit. She joins us in the studio today. Sarah, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Also joining us is the executive director of the Durham History Hub, Katie Spencer. Hi, Katie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sarah, tell us a little bit about Hugh Mangum. Who was he? And he's a photographer in Durham, obviously. When did he live?
He was born in 1877, and he died in 1922. So he was young when he died. He was only 44 years old. He was born in downtown Durham on Main Street. His father was an early Durham postmaster, possibly the first. And he began photographing in his teens, probably around age 16 or so. And a lot of what we're doing, Margaret Sartor is also a co-curator of this exhibit, a lot of what we're doing with the images is trying to find out about Hugh, trying to find out who he was and more about his character, and we're doing that through the images themselves. His granddaughter, Martha, also lives in Cary, North Carolina, and she has been an invaluable source about Hugh Mangum and his family.
So when we hear that name, Mangum, and if you live in Durham, you might ask, is he the family or was his the family for whom the street is named?
He is. The exact connection is not known, but he is related to William Person Mangum. And that is who the street is named after. He was a very well-known politician in the mid-1800s.
A few steps away, could possibly have been elected president. Was that close to electoral politics and that popular?
Yes, that was him.
That's him. That's not Hugh Mangum. Hugh Mangum is a relative. He is a photographer. And his work has just recently. Tell us how his work was discovered.
Well, his work was discovered in the pack house on West Point on the Eno, and his family moved to West Point on the Eno in 1891. It was first a summer home for them, and then they moved there permanently in 1893. And he built his first darkroom there in the southeast corner of the pack house. And decades later, his negatives, the glass plate negatives, were found, and they had been there not being taken care of. They were covered in chicken poop. Some of them had been thrown out the window. We don't know how many were lost. And thanks to many people, the images are now at the Archive of Documentary Arts at Duke.
And tell us about these images.
Well, they're just incredible, and they're mesmerizing. The first time I looked at them was in 2010. I had just moved to Durham to do a master's degree, and I was taking a class taught by Margaret Sartor called Photography in Context. And as part of the work for that class, I went into the archive, and I was drawn to his archive because I had just moved to Durham, and I knew that he was from Durham. And I really just wanted to learn a little bit more about the history of my new surroundings. And I saw his images, and I was just instantly mesmerized. The characters just jump off the negatives. And many of the people that he photographed were laughing, heads thrown back in laughter. And that was very unusual in portraiture at that time. And the other thing that really struck me was the diversity on the negatives, which was also unusual for that time.
So we see some of these, some of the prints now that I have in front of me. It looks a little bit like an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that you might see in a yearbook, right? Mm-hmm. I've got 9 images, all equal size, 3 by 3 on this page. So you might think that somebody arranged them like this, but it turns out that this is how he took them. And how do you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what I thought when I first saw them. I thought that he had somehow arranged the images of his diverse clients on one glass plate negative to expose them, and then to expose the negative. And when I did some more research, I found out that he used a camera called the Penny Picture Camera. And this camera worked in a step and repeat process. So the order of the images on the negative, they represent the order that his clientele came into the studio. And as we can see from the image that you're holding now, it was just a rotating door of diversity.
People who are black, people who are white, some of whom seem to be people of means unless they borrowed the clothes, others who seem less so. And as you suggest, this is, people walking in the door. That was when their appointment was. Katie, tell us about that. The city of Durham at that time, that would not have been common in a southern city, that people could have walked in the front door one after another, some being black, some being white. Tell us about Durham at the time.
Right. So first of all, this is a fascinating time period in Durham's history. So Hugh Mangum, as Sarah mentioned, was born in 1877. Durham was undergoing enormous transition at that time. The population was growing, doubling, tripling. I think in 1880, there were about 2,000 people in Durham, and by 1890, there were 5,400, so almost tripling. And so Durham is moving from the Durham that Hugh Mangum was born in was a railroad stop, a railroad station, and it's becoming an industrial boom town. Washington Duke and the Duke family are making their fortunes, and many others are as well. So that's happening, first of all. Throughout the South, as Reconstruction ends, actually it ended the same year that Hugh Mangum was born. As Reconstruction ends, opportunities for African Americans to be in the political system also rapidly ended. So by 1900, 1901, actually the last black North Carolinian to be in Congress, U.S. Congress, was out, and that it would be a long time until anyone came back. So, but here locally, what was happening in Durham was not through politics, but through business. African-American leaders were founding businesses like the North Carolina Mutual Life, which would become one of the biggest black-owned businesses in the country. Places like Mechanics and Farmers and North Carolina Central, what we now know as North Carolina Central, was established at that time, too. So here in Durham, there is an African-American middle class that is burgeoning at that time.
Yeah, and I think this is critical to point out. Veins of capital are flowing through African-American neighborhoods, as they are through the whole community. Obviously, with particularly tobacco and some textiles, that industry is growing. And that means you can have a job. It means you can earn a wage. But with these veins of capital coming through the bank and through North Carolina Mutual, there's also ownership. There's an equity stake in the town that is shared not quite equally, not equally by black and white, but some equity going and wealth going through the community, and that establishes a black middle class.
Yeah, in fact, I was just researching an exhibit, separately an exhibit on credit unions in Durham and in North Carolina, and there were a lot of credit unions in North Carolina that kind of served as a way for African Americans to borrow money in the Jim Crow South. We don't actually see as many in Durham at that time as elsewhere in North Carolina, and most likely because the Mechanics and Farmers Bank was here, there were actually banking institutions that were black-owned and provided that access to capital that you just mentioned.
So, Sarah, tell us some of the characteristics. Tell us, as we look at these photos, and you can describe perhaps some in the one that I'm holding, what it tells us about Hugh Mangum as a photographer and about his subjects.
Well, what's so great about portraiture is it is inevitably a collaboration between the photographer and the sitter. And so from these images, we really learn as much about Hugh Mangum as we do about the sitters themselves. And because the people are so able to be genuinely open and reveal themselves genuinely, we learn that Hugh Mangum had a very gregarious and charming personality, a great sense of humor, and the sitters themselves are able to show themselves as they really are.
And you're a photographer, so this is interesting coming from you, because I might look at this. I've seen a lot of people smiling and happy in a photo, and I think that's what people do. But you're telling me that how the photographer reacts and what kind of relationship he or she has makes a big difference in what I get in a picture.
Yes, and it's very difficult to do. It is a unique skill, and Hugh Mangum certainly had a unique skill for developing a relationship with the people that he photographed. And many of these sitters would have been in there for, you know, 1 minute, 3 minutes, and he comes away with this portrait that we're still drawn to today, you know, almost 100 years later, and we're still looking at them, and, you know, they really provide a bridge between the past and the present. And again, this one that you're holding up, the woman on the top left, she has remained one of my absolute favorite personalities in the collection. She's so strong, and she has her shoulders held back, and her neck is slightly up, and her face to the side, and she just looks so regal. And, he really captured that in her. And it just makes me want to know so much about her. And, you know, one of the things that these images really do is engage both our intellect and our emotions and our imagination.
Regal and strong without looking posed and arrogant, some of that sort of phony look that you get in a picture where somebody's really trying very hard to make a point. This looks much more natural, that kind
very
of,
natural.
That,
yeah.
That sort of elegance.
He would have he did have a skill for making people feel comfortable.
So who is getting pictures of? What were people doing with portraits at this time? Who is getting these pictures taken, and what were they doing with them? Do we know?
Well, the Black community in particular was really harnessing the power of photography, and they were using it to create and to celebrate Black identity, to really celebrate beauty and individuality and their accomplishments and prosperity. And so these images would have created the foundation of those family photo albums and, you know, really shaped that identity and the identity of future generations for those families.
Trying to shape that identity coming out of the period of slavery to say this is now who we are, it was actually dangerous at this period for much of the South when we see the beginnings of Jim Crow, the coup d'etat in Wilmington. We saw it in Rosedale, and we saw it in Tulsa, other places where African Americans had exhibited independence. It was lethal. And so to strike this kind of pose, I mean, it's not a small thing to say you can strike this kind of pose in the city of Durham, at least then. Mm-hmm. How much of and so these portraits are they're up at the History Hub in Durham, and I should say they're on our website. So if you go to stateofthings.org, you're going to see them there as well. Tell us more about this Penny Picture camera, too, that it is interesting because you can actually put in series, develop in series the pictures that you've taken. But it was also, I understand, a relatively inexpensive camera.
It was. It was inexpensive in that the photographs themselves could be sold for a very affordable price, at least a penny. He sold some of them for a penny, up to 25 cents for 12 images. And it could create anywhere from 6 to 24 images on one glass plate negative, depending on the template that he used. So because it was very affordable and you could create these novelty portraits, it was very accessible by all members of the community.
Katie, this project came about by an interesting process, and it has to do with the philosophy of the History Hub itself. Tell us how we came to know about these photos and how they came to be an exhibit here in Durham.
Sure. So part of the approach that we've taken with the History Hub, which is in the former bus transfer station on Main Street, it's a small space and it's full of windows, so it's a non-traditional museum space. So we knew we needed to think outside the box. And one way that we do that is keep exhibits moving through. And another way that we do that is reaching out to the community and really creating opportunities for community members to either curate an exhibit, record their story, leave post-it note feedback on what we have in the hub. And so we saw this in action starting on day one at the grand opening. I vividly remember Sarah coming up to me and Margaret as well and just saying, we've got to do an exhibit on Hugh Mangum. Do you know about Hugh Mangum? And I had heard of Hugh Mangum. I think a lot of people in Durham have heard of Hugh Mangum, but I didn't really have the depth of knowledge that I have gained through learning from Sarah about this, seeing his work, and that I hope our visitors will gain. And so this is going up in the Our Bull City community curated exhibit wall, which is literally designed for community members who propose an exhibit to then curate it and put it up and open it. And that's what's happening.
Proving here. Once again that history ain't what it used to be.
That's right.
There's a picture of Hugh, and I said these are on our website, stateofthings.org. The collection includes a photo of Hugh Mangum, which
yes.
is nice. So you get to see what he looks like. And I'll just hold it up to the microphone here. There he is. Okay, so if you really want to see him, go to the website. The other thing that I think the photos or some of them illustrate is the condition in which they were found. Some of these, as you said, were apparently there were chickens around when these were being stored.
There were chickens on top.
On top. So, but tell us about that. I mean, in some ways, some of the degradation is almost in a weird way beautiful.
Yes, I find it very poetic. And they were in terrible shape when they were found, many of them. And I really have to hand it to the Archive of Documentary Arts for taking the time to bring those into the library and cleaning them off and scanning them and creating them as a collection within the archive so that everybody can see them. And it's the deterioration is something that we think about a lot as we're creating meaning and thinking about the meaning of these photographs, because as I said, some of the deterioration is just so poetic, and it really demonstrates what the images themselves have gone through, what many of the sitters may have gone through. They really demonstrate and reflect the time that has passed since these images were created. And in my opinion, they really add a lot. You know, I picture kind of an exhumation, both of the photographs and also of bringing out the meaning of these photographs and of Hugh Mangum's life.
Well, the other thing this illustrates, and you pointed out the care that the archivist took, both to restore them, then to maintain them, and so you're a student at Duke, you get to the Duke Archive, you get to see these things, but they're there at an academic archive. When you then have a project like the History Hub, which says, all right, these archives, these universities and others have done a great job in preserving them, let's let them see the light of day, and let's get them out there. And of course, they're happy to cooperate with you to do just that. And tell us about how this sort of fits with the philosophy of the History Hub.
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head. Let's make all of these incredible photos available, not just the Hugh Mangum photos, but there are many, many others. So we do work often with the Rubenstein Special Collections at Duke and with the Durham County Library North Carolina Collection to sort of take them and make them very public, almost be an education arm of the archival work that they do. So that's definitely what we're trying to do. And, you know, it's free to visit the History Hub. It's centrally located in downtown. We have some parking spaces. You know, we're about taking as many of the barriers out of the way so that people can encounter the history of their community.
And they, the other interesting thing, too, about this is that as a university, Duke is taking the point of view, I guess, and has the philosophy that they would like to assist in this. You can imagine other archives that say, oh, no, we're not going to play with that kind of thing. We've got them preserved. But they're very open to the idea of sharing. So and the other thing about Hugh Mangum was he was itinerant and traveled around a bit. And so we have a photo here that you think may not have been taken in Durham. He actually had a studio in Virginia, right?
He had three different studios in Virginia that he maintained with partners there. Early in his career, he had a studio that he called the Cottage Studio that was in downtown Durham. But this image, it could have been taken in Durham or the vicinity of Durham, but it pictures about eight incarcerated black males. And what I find just so engaging about this picture is the way that he pictures the black males. And black incarcerated males then and now are a very stereotyped community. And that is not what Hugh Mangum is photographing. He is photographing those men as individuals. And when you look at their faces and their gestures, the tips of their hats, the way their hats are tipped, you see them as men. You don't see them as incarcerated people.
Of course, what's interesting about Hugh Mangum is he did this for a living. He was not a political photographer or in any way engaged in politics. He took pictures and sold them to people, and so it wasn't for political reasons. And yet this is sort of how art and cultural activities can, in many ways, subvert social norms that are ultimately immoral and illegal.
Very much.
Sarah, I guess one of the more important things is that there are all of these photographs of these wonderful faces, but we don't know who they are. And I guess there's an effort underway to figure that out, right?
Yes, that is a big part of this exhibition, is an effort to identify some of the individuals, or as many as possible. You know, collectively, the portraits really symbolize the triumphs and the struggles of this very pivotal time in our history. But it's really a collection of individuals and their unique stories. And I think identifying them would really honor them and help us hear their stories.
So we can get things going tonight, I guess, right, Katie?
That's exactly right. So there is an opening party at the History Hub. It's 5:30 to 7. And part of the goal is to get as many people out there looking at these photos, maybe even identifying family members.
That's great. The photographer Sarah Stack, who curated the exhibit at Hugh Mangum's work in photography on view at the History Hub. Thank you for being on the program, Sarah.
Thank you.
Katie Spencer, the executive director of the Durham History Hub. Thanks, Katie.
Yes, thank you.
The exhibit, Hugh Mangum on Main Street, Portraits from the Early 20th Century, is on view through August. And as I say, those images are at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a murder mystery set at a small town bed and breakfast. Stay tuned.